Hello everyone, I hope you are keeping well. Welcome to another episode of the Middle Age Gaming Podcast, the number one show where we talk about games, gaming philosophy, predictions, and pretty much everything under the sun. Your hosts are Adam, Crean, Antoine, and Phil. Pretty much whoever can be there for the show because, as you know, Middle Age gamers are busy. We have family, commitments, work, and so many other things. Enough said, let's get on with the show.
Good evening and good morning, everyone, wherever you are. I hope you are having a fantastic start to the week. It is boiling everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere, but it's also boiling in Middle Age Gaming because we are bringing you the hottest news, real heat and gaming heat as well, when it comes to... That was just a really interesting intro. Well, let's keep going. So, yes, gaming news, right? We can talk about what we're playing this week. Today, we bring another kickstarting episode. This today is my choice, which is The Ranchers by Ethan. I have no idea who Ethan is, but we'll get into that a bit later. So, what have you guys been playing today? Let's go alphabetical order, and we'll start with Adam first.
I thought Antoine is alphabetically first. No, just joking. So, I've been basically doing the same thing. I did a little tiny bit of, what do you call it? .hackGU, so played a tiny bit of that. Did some Final Fantasy 14, tried to get my bid in on a new guild house and failed, unfortunately. And other than that, some Apex and...
What did you fail?
So the way it used to work was it was just first come, first serve. So whoever was showed up at the house first and bought it. And that was the old way of doing housing. And people hated it because... It basically meant that if you wanted a house, you had to basically stand outside the house for an extended period of time and try to buy it. So then what they did is they made it that the houses were on a timer. Oh, but the timer was random. So what'll happen is if a house goes on sale, over time the price will go down. But so it would randomly set a time and you don't know how long this could be. It could be 5 days. It could be 2 hours. And so they thought, oh, okay, if we do this, it'll give people plenty of time to find out that a house is on sale, and then they can get ready to buy it. But then the thing is, you have people that are camping outside this house for literally days at a time just trying to get a house. And that didn't work out, especially for people that can only play at certain times. So everyone kept telling them, do a lottery. And that's eventually what they have ended up implementing. So now when a house goes on sale, it still has that random amount of time before it's... you're able to buy it. So it could be 4 days or 5 days. So you'll see a house is up for sale. You go there, you can't actually bid yet. But once the bidding goes up, I think the bidding is up for 5 days. So you can just enter your bid. And then after those 5 days, it'll announce who is the winner. And you have to pay up front. And if you don't win, you can get your money back. But if you do win, then you can have the house. And so my guild house currently is small, and they have three sizes of houses. They have small, medium, and large, and we're trying to upgrade to a medium, which don't show up too often, but they recently released the new area for housing in Ishgard, which is one of the cities, and so a lot of people wanted to move to the new area, so that freed up some housing from the people that had moved out of those areas. But so I've been trying to get us, because I'm the guild leader, I've been trying to get us a medium-sized house, because we're not big enough for a big house, and we don't have that much money. But so far, no luck. Because the other thing, too, is you can only bid on one house at a time. So
I have a question on this.
Yeah.
We agree that it's a virtual world with virtually like unlimited expenses. So why can't they just make more houses per...
So they've done this before. So what happened is basically it's amount of server space, because these are public areas. They are not private areas. In certain games, what they might do, like I think Guild Wars does it, you just go to a building and then you instance into your guild hall. And so because of that, everybody can have a guild hall. But in Final Fantasy XIV, the way they wanted to do it is they actually wanted to have neighborhoods. And because they want to have neighborhoods... then anybody can go to a neighborhood, visit, and walk around the houses. And for some people, they put a lot of effort into making their houses really fancy, so they'll get lots of visitors and whatnot. But because of that, it means that this is all public space, and so you can instance it, but you need to have a finite number of places that you can have, because people have to visit it. So what they originally did is they had a certain number of areas. I think they increased those number of areas, and then they doubled those number of areas, and now they've opened up two new places where you can, two whole new things, but it's just a matter of server space, because you have to keep these have to be perpetually on all the time. They're not instanced, and so they're not character locked in the same way your room at the inn is. So it's not linked to the character, it's linked to the entire server.
So there are no individual houses, right, in Final Fantasy XIV?
So you have an inn room. Every major city, you can go to the inn, and you can have a room, and you can customize that room to a certain extent. Actually, no, wait, I don't think you can customize that room too much. But you have your own room, and then they have these, what do you call it, the neighborhoods that you can buy. They call them residential areas. And so they have individual housing, but obviously it's not the same number of people that are playing the game. And you can get a small, they have a lot of small little cottages. They have a few houses, which are the medium. And then they have very few mansions. But they also have, each district, I think, has a couple hundred apartments. So there's one apartment building in each one. You can rent or you can buy an apartment. And if you do that, then you can decorate the interior. But having a house allows you to decorate the exterior. So usually there are apartments available. And lately there seem to be, at least depending on where you go, there are some small houses available from time to time. But the mediums and the larges go pretty quick. And they've also now divided it where it used to be that all the housing was just a free-for-all. Anybody could buy any house. But now they're actually designating certain houses are for free companies only, your guilds. You have certain houses that can only be bought by a guild and certain houses that can only be bought by individuals. And so because of that, it separates the market a little bit. So you don't have a bunch of... Because I know on some servers, it used to be that there was no limit to how many houses you could buy. And there were certain servers where half the houses were owned by maybe three people because they just kept buying just these legacy players that had tons of money. So things like that. But then also you might get something like a guild, and then in that guild, it's really rich. Everybody pools their money together, and then everybody in that guild has their own house as well. And so because of that, they're like, well, a lot of guilds want their own space. And so they said, okay, we're going to designate some houses as guild only, and individuals can't buy those houses. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Antoine? What about you?
As I said, last week I finished the Tales of Arise, and since then I simply just didn't have the motivation to start a new game. I just installed the Little Witch of the Woods just to see that it was actually working well and racing, but I didn't start it. I just need time to reinvest myself emotionally into a new game. So instead, what I did is I released for the first time in 6 months a narration of La Forteresse. And if you don't know this book, just listen to the podcast we did 2 weeks ago, because it was on La Corne des Sables d'Ivoire, which is the second book of this series. So yes, and sorry for the barking dog upstairs. Yeah, I have done an episode today, first one of 6 months, because finally my job is coming down a bit. So I'm hopefully gonna release one per week, because that's ambitious, but hopefully a few. I imagine I will need 20, 25 episodes to finish this book. And that's just one story only. There's more than 15, and I'm not going to do all 15. I just want to do one. I'll keep the other one just for myself, just to complete the list of achievements at the end of the book, because at the end of the book, you have a big list of achievements that you can do by finding the secret stories and the secret ending and things like this, which is very interesting. I'll do that not for myself, of course. Yeah, I think I'll be doing this in the next few weeks, unless I find a game to play. And actually, thanks to Crean's topic today, I might have found a game that I will play in the next few weeks. But I'll talk about this later.
Okay, cool. I guess the simple question, this is probably not a simple question, but like, how do you not... So like when you say you didn't play anything this week, right? No mobile gaming, no Switch, no console, no desktop, nothing.
Nah. Absolutely nothing. Instead, I did the taxes and the garden work and this. It takes some time, and there's plenty of stuff to do.
For sure. No, I can't imagine like a whole week where I didn't play games. I think my brain would explode.
But I just finished a game I spent more than 100 hours on. I won't say it's tiring. You want some time to empty your brain of all the stories and everything so you can restart on Blacker. Complete fresh ground onto something else.
Oh, no, because I just don't care about the story. That is why it doesn't matter for me.
Ah, maybe.
Yes.
So that's what I'm playing for. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm playing what I'm interested in. I just don't want to play any random game right now because there's so many lookalikes.
True. Okay, and on that note, then, yes, as usual this week, I have the, not as usual, but So I played It Takes Two last night. Still enjoying it a lot. Still beautiful, very colorful, very fun. Lots of mini games, lots of different dynamics. I think I just Googled this. No, was it last night? No, today's Wednesday. So Monday night. So I Googled it, the game. It's about 10 to 12 hours. And my friend and I were probably about 5 to 6 hours through. So we probably have another 4 to 5 weeks of gaming. But still absolutely enjoying it. Still, I would recommend for you to pick it up. All these sort of summer sales are pretty much over though. So you'll be paying full price if you pick it up from whatever store you do want to buy it on. I would wait until the fall as well. Like, I don't think paying $50 for a 10 to 12 hour game is worth it. But again, that's a controversial opinion. We'll talk about that later. So that was Monday. And then Sunday, I played Deep Rock Galactic as usual with my brothers. Still incredibly fun. We finally got our characters up to like level 25. And from there, you have to do a promotion. You have to get a promotion. And then you have this end game content stuff. But still also pretty fun, pretty, especially as usual, the last minutes of the mission where you call down your drop pod and then the timer kicks down. And then you have to make it to the drop pod while you're fighting off aliens, which is always exciting. They've done that sort of Left 4 Dead mechanic. Also really good. Played Hades yesterday. I've died 19 times so far, but still, like, the game is really interesting because as you keep dying, it gives you, it unlocks more mechanics for you to make yourself stronger. Before, I could level up myself, and as of yesterday, I can level up the weapons that I use. These are all the weapons. Some are actually real, some are fake, but the weapons that the gods used to kill the Titans back in the day. So it's pretty cool, pretty fun. I think I'm starting over a new run. Hopefully I have time to play today, but we'll see. But yeah, Hades also still enjoying it as well. I picked up Disco Elysium on the Switch sale, and I picked up, I think, 2 or 3 games, Northgard as well. So I'll be looking forward to playing those in the future. Cool. Okay.
Question here, sorry.
No worries, no worries. Adam, you've gone a little bit dark there.
Yeah, this camera is awful. If I turn it on manual, it'll be fine for a while, and then and this is automatic. So this is what it thinks the world looks like.
All right. So today we are talking about a Kickstarter game, and it is a game that I chose. And as you guys can imagine, if you've known Adam and I for almost 2 years of doing this podcast, I think almost 2 years, especially me as I've gotten older, I like the sort of relaxing, no combat games. Unfortunately, this game does have combat, but it still is very beautiful, which is something I like a lot. So the game is The Ranchers by Ethan. It is currently sitting at $92,030 of a $50,000 goal. This game is guaranteed, as in the developers will get the money, but it is still 22 days to go. One thing I think not a lot of people know, on the American Kickstarter, well, the only Kickstarter for most Western people or English-speaking people, a lot of the action happens in the last, what I'd say, the last 3 days. So I guess Kickstarters get something like 20% of their money in the last 3 days or so. There are a bunch of stretch goals which have been unlocked, and there are a whole bunch of stretch goals going up to 500,000 euros. So you might be looking at some of these stretch goals and say, hey, I want pets to become breedable, but that's 500,000 euros, and that is still a long way. Although the way the euro has dropped, this might be a lot more achievable now. Poor euros, but yeah. So this is a game, right? Farming, ranching, building, exploring, a little bit of combat as well. I have to apologize. I'm not going to do what Adam did last week with Nine Souls, where he had done a really deep lore dive. This is it. There's not much. This is in the vein of Animal Farm. When I say Animal Farm, Animal Crossing. I am a little bit sleepy. Yes, so you can guess what it is. It's in My Time at Sandrock, My Time at Portia, these sort of games. It's very similar to Dragon Quest Builders as well, with the sort of building, farming, fighting mechanic. This is definitely not that similar in terms of Animal Crossing, because in Animal Crossing, there's no fighting. But some notes, 30 euros for the base starting point is a little bit expensive, I think, for this kind of game. Like, usually Kickstarters, for this kind of game, they're more in the like $20 range. So this is about $30 at the time of us talking about it. This is why this is very unique, is that it's an emphasis on animals, which a lot of these sort of farming games, Stardew Valley and stuff, this is an option. The most people don't tend to go for animals though. So this might be something like, if you're interested in raising cows and chickens and that sort of stuff, this might be it. And if you go down and you look at the Kickstarter page, some of the art is really cool. They have vehicles as well, which I thought was nice. So some of the vehicles look really nice. The idea of the systemic engine is great. I don't think, not sure how much this would matter to this kind of crowd. So the systemic engine is just a concept for ocular occlusion, or basically where particles bounce off each other, and it's of particle physics, basically, is the way to describe it. I don't think this matters for my kind of people, but we'll see. Decent amount of customization options. The housing building is probably the most expansive out of any game I have played or kickstarted in the last 1 year. The amount of things, stuff you can do with your house reminds me of Adam's Darling, The Sims. So that looks to be interesting as well. There's some fighting, and I do wrote my notes. It is disappointing, but I think as long as fighting doesn't have that sort of crazy parabolic curve of difficulty, I'm okay with it. But we'll have to see how things come out. They've never produced a game before, so this is one of the things I looked for. So this is something you guys to be careful of. As I've said it before, just because a game receives its funding doesn't mean it's guaranteed to be successful and you get a game. I've kickstarted at least 3 games where my money is evaporated into thin air because there were issues with the dev team, there were issues with other issues, the COVID issues as well. And so I never got my money. The devs never got their money. This can happen. So definitely one of the things when you evaluate a Kickstarter, you want to see, have they released a game before? Who did they used to work for? Was it EA? Was it Square Enix? And you'll find a lot of Kickstarter devs have some amount of experience under their belt. And ideally you want them to have at least released a game before, or at least worked on a team that has released a game. Unfortunately, these guys have never released a game before. So it is a gamble, but again, if you have that discretionary money, or you are viewing it in the perspective of, okay, I'm buying this at a discount, a significant discount, because this, I guarantee this will be like a $60, $70 game when it does release in 2 years. So it's definitely, that is a perspective you can have a look at it. But that's just my take. What do you guys think? We'll go, Antoine.
Okay, so we are talking about Kickstarters and Kickstarters to try to raise visibility for these games and everything. And usually we'll try to be quite positive on this. I'm not that positive on this game, I'm sorry. It should have a lot of things in things which tick my box. This base building, I don't know why I was thinking of The Sims, but maybe a relationship or stuff. There is, but yeah, okay. There is a bit of Farming Simulator. There's a bit of My Time of Portia, especially for the kind of dungeon finding part. There's a mix of all this, Stardew Valley, of course, but it looked, I don't know, cheap. And maybe it's just me, because like artistic direction is a very personal stuff. I found it very ugly. It's a very big turn-off for me. I see that, I'm like, you know what? I go on Steam and I see My Time at Portia number 2, so My Time at Sandrock, is on Early Access. Oh, I'm going to go for that. So I'm very sorry for the developer for this game. It's a game I've seen lots of times. There's a mix of the best things of everything, which is maybe great. And if you like this kind of game, it's fantastic. I would go with a game that I know is going to be great. Patea did a great game on My Time at Portia. I'm sure Sandrock is going to be great. And for the same amount of money, I'm just going to go with the guys who know what they're doing. And I'm very sorry, but mainly it's based on the art. I really just don't like how it's looking. If you like how it's looking, it's fantastic for you. Eh? Great. Personally, I don't like it so much. And farming-wise, then I don't know what the mechanic's going to be like. Is it stock market? Like you can have in the guild, for instance. Oh, there's not enough. In the guild, it's more like ore, but there's not enough wheat. So the wheat is going to be expensive. Or you can go to the maybe local market to decide what crop or what animal or what kind of meat you want to raise. Is there any kind of mechanic like this? So it's bare minimum. I need to see a bit of gameplay to see how much of management game there is in it. Do you have an extensive management game in there? Farming simulators, things like this? Or you have a jack of all trade and master of none? Like, you have a bit of everything, but nothing goes deep enough into something to make it very interesting. I'm very afraid this is the kind of game it is. From what I see, from the trailer I see. Of course, it's just a trailer made from very likely an alpha, and there's still a long time of development left. And it might change depending on the Kickstarter people who might request some additions or things like this. I'm sure that we're going to listen to the people who put money into it, since I understand the Kickstarter is already a success. So the game is going to be made. Or at least we hope so. Or we wish them to do so. But I'm very sorry. I wish I could say a lot of good things about it. I'm not hyped. I'm really not hyped about it. Sorry.
Man, I thought you would have said, oh my God, these are all French guys. I thought you would have said, yes, vive la France.
They are French guys. Woo! Ah, it's a perfect game. Buy it. Good for the French industry of video games. No, sorry. No, I can do that when it's... we talked about the Bordeaux studio, a couple of days ago. During the Summer Game Fest, there was a couple of game. Isn't it the guy who made Northgard, actually?
Yes.
Dune Spice Wars. I recommend because it's fun. And actually, Korean say just bought it. You're going to have fun on this one. I'm sorry. I just can't be hyped on something I don't like. I'm sorry. I'm trying. I'm really trying. Yeah. Visibility. Wow. Base building and everything. And animal farming. And woo. Sorry. I'm really trying. But as you can see, I'm trying. And that's not a good sign, at least for me. If I'm not hyped by a game, as you can see, I'm not playing that many games a year. Then it's not for me.
And then what about you?
Yeah, no, I don't mind the art at all. I think I enjoy the minimalist design of it. Everything's more, it is a little bit blockier or a little bit more simplistic, but I enjoy that. My only concern is that maybe, especially as you say, they're not people with games under their belt. Are they going to be biting off more than they can chew? When I saw the trailer, I even posted on our line. I was like, that escalated quickly. Because if you're watching the trailer, it starts off and it's just a simple farming thing. It's okay. This looks like it's pretty simple. And then it gets into the dating kind of simulation of it and the building. And I, too, when I saw that, I was immediately like, this reminds me of The Sims. And then I was kind of like, okay, am I going to enjoy this as much as The Sims? I don't know. It's really going to depend on your interactions with other characters, because that's a big thing about Sims is the whole social aspect of it and having your sim go out and interact with other people. So depending on how interactive other people, do they just stand around and you just walk up to them and talk, or... are they going to be active members of the community and coming around and doing their own thing and living their own lives? If they do, it could be very interesting, I think. But yeah, my concern is because it starts off with the ranching thing and that seems fine. And then you can see the guy build up. He starts off on this little dinky scooter and he builds up to basically, I don't know what that is. This is a Lamborghini or something like that. It builds up all the way. And, it starts off as kind of like a peaceful looking thing. And then you see the guy on a horse with a gun culling pigs or something. I'm not sure what he's doing there, but... he's doing that, and I'm like, okay, that's ranching. And then suddenly he's scuba diving in ruins and dungeon delving, and then he's fighting giant wasps with a sword, and then he goes up against some kind of big demon monster. And that all happened in the last 10 seconds of the video or something. So I was just kind of like, whoa, that went from farming simulator to dungeon delver real quick. But yeah, it'll be interesting. The only thing I will say that I don't like about this, and this is a nitpick, is when the dude walks, his head doesn't move. It creeps me out that his shoulders and his whole body is moving and his head is perfectly still, and that just creeps me out. But that's
it's an alpha.
I know, but
it's
just
normal to have bug and stuff like this at this stage.
I don't think it's a bug. I think it's just the design feature. But I don't know, for some reason that's that would be weird. But otherwise, no, it looks interesting. I like the whole idea, the aesthetic of it. I think it's interesting. I like the fact that you can build a house. I'm curious to see how much of it is going to be aesthetic and how much of it is actually functional. Obviously, he could store things in the refrigerator, but we see other things in the house, like we see a computer, TV. Like, how much are you going to be interacting with that? Like, is it something where it is like Sims, where you're managing this person's life? Or is it more just purely aesthetic, where it's there just to look interesting and give you something to do, but it doesn't really have function? I saw on the farm there was a big, what do you call this thing? A combine? For harvesting, the big tractor thing. He had one of those sitting around in the background. Are you going to be able to drive those things or not? So I really want to see more. I am interested, but I do want to see more to see, get a better idea of exactly. Because right now it's just mostly planting and harvesting. And that's basically all we've seen. And I would like to see what you're doing between the planting and the harvesting. What are you doing on your day-to-day stuff? Obviously, you're going to be watering plants and things like that. And also, too, like you said that it's going to be focusing more on animals. They didn't do too much focus on animals in the trailer that I saw. There was a lot of planting, and they did have a cow where he fed the cow, and there were some chickens sitting around, but it didn't really show so much of the interactions you're going to have with the animals.
I think I saw some horses with a little training course on it, so I don't know if it's just aesthetic or not.
No, he was riding a horse at one point, too, so you're definitely going to be able to ride horses. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, though. I think I would really like to see, because, for instance, they said they had animal husbandry and animals can be more helpful and that sort of thing. So I'm really hoping that they reach some of those stretch goals, because those seem to be really interesting. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think if you're not looking at the Kickstarter page, it might be hard to see. And this also, for me, there's a lot of comparisons. I can, like Antoine mentioned, Farming Simulator. I think that is definitely a lot more hardcore. This is definitely more Stardew Valley started it all. And then from there have been iterations of stuff. And as people have found this genre of having this feedback loop of farm, make money, do relationships, speak to people, like, we need to expand this feedback loop. We need to provide more bang for a buck. And that's where games like My Time at Porsche, where Coral Island, where, what is the other thing? There's a bunch of stuff that I'm not looking where they're like, okay, we need to do more. We need to mix in the survival genre, and the farming genre, and the survival genre, and the dungeon diving genre. So it's, I understand why they've gone so expansive, because this is, they want to get to this, to the level of the Dragon Quest Builders, where you're paying $70 and you're getting 70, 80, 90 hours of gameplay. On the animal question, you'd have to look at the Kickstarter page, because like I said, like every single game, there's animals are usually an afterthought, but I know there are lots of people who do want to do the, oh yeah, I'm the farmer, but I raise cows and produce milk and that sort of stuff. It was definitely, I don't think there's not a single game that I've seen where animals have been like a focus. Go ahead, Antoine.
No, you were right. I didn't look at the Kickstarter page. And remember when I was talking about the farmer's market, it's a Kickstarter at 1 million euros.
Yeah.
Or you can sell your livestock crafted items and your ranch. That's worrying to me. It is, because, you know, like 500K is hard to get. I can't even imagine 1 million, which is twice. You can make your own cheese at 400K.
But like I said, like this, the amount of money is sitting at right now, it will easily 3x by the time it's done. So it'll be, they'll reach at least at a minimum 300K, because there is such a huge appetite for this sort of gaming. Especially, I read stories about this being like a COVID game, and this is like one of those happy games where people are happy. They don't have to worry about BA5 or BA4 or COVID tests or getting sick second or third times, or the kids developing MISC or anything like that.
Little question is, how do you see this game? Do you see it as a sandbox or something like story-driven, like Porsche, for instance?
I wouldn't even see it. For me, Porsche was not story-driven. Porsche was, for me, about the feedback loop.
There is a story which is developing each time you finish a project. There is a red line that you follow. It's you finish a project, you continue the story, you meet new people.
There is a story, for sure.
It's not really per se a sandbox, it's not Subnautica, where you can say, you know what, the story, I don't care, I'm gonna spend 500 hours just developing a base because it's fun. You can't really do that in Porsche, for instance. So in this one, maybe it's more sandboxy, which would be good. I like sandbox, but I don't know, like Stardew Valley as well had a kind of directive line that you have to follow, even though you can do your own stuff at some point as well. But I was wondering, what kind of gameplay do they propose here?
So for me, like all these games, like I don't see them in the sandbox vein. And then again, because you guys, Antoine knows and Adam knows, like I don't follow the story at all. This is do this, get a reward, do the next thing, get a reward. That's what I think I know a fair number of people like. I don't think there's any being a game where it's very much sandboxy, because there is like a thing where they want gradual levels of progression from the farm. You can go scuba diving, and from there you can go to this place and explore islands. And there's a mid-game content and end-game content and that sort of stuff. So this is a game where it's going to be like, okay, you're going to establish, I've got my bare level farm, but I want to be dungeon diving and getting minerals and crafting stuff and selling that at the market. Or I don't want to do dungeon diving. I want to be a farmer and make money that way. And I think most of these games, even Stardew Valley, had that choice. You didn't have to go into the mine. You could just do farming. You could do animals as well if you wanted to, though it was less incentivized that way. So I think this is going to be more of the same. For me, the differentiator was the animals and the looks as well.
I have another question. So I'm looking at the Kickstarter page right now. And if you look at the stretch goals, it says at 500,000 euros, it says pets become breedable. That is the thing there. But then if you go down to the pet section, farm animals, blah, 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 here's your farm animals. And then the first line, animals can be bred. So
this is legal stuff in Kickstarter. So when you publish a Kickstarter page, you can't change anything. So even after you hit a stretch goal, you have to, that's why everything in the stretch goals have to be there.
Oh, okay. So basically, when it's saying animals can be bred, they don't actually mean that they can. It means there's the possibility if we reach the stretch goal.
Yes, yes. So there's always, you also see Kickstarter games. This is something also to tell everybody. Sometimes their goals, stretch goals for the Switch. And so you might not see a Switch available in a portion that you can Kickstart. And that's just because they can't. Maybe they're like, okay, we're probably not going to hit the stretch goal, which is why they did include it. But if they hit the stretch goal, there is going to be a Switch port of this, but they just can't show it to you until after the Kickstarter is over because of, again, as Kickstarters had bad things happen to it and people losing money, they've codified the rules of saying, okay, once you publish a Kickstarter, it is gold, no more changing, no more editing. The only thing you can do is you can answer questions from people. So if you do have a question, you should go. Most good Kickstarters, they will answer your questions if you post a comment about it.
Okay. So this is, because it just confused me, because it says animals can be bred, though. First, you'll need to buy a coop or barn to house them. But then it was up here, it's listed as a stretch goal. So I'm like, wait, so can I do it or can't I do it? Because they haven't reached that stretch goal yet. So that was a bit confusing to me.
It's also super flexible. Like sometimes, like even my time at Sandrock, there was a bunch of stuff that didn't get reached and the devs came out and said, better, we didn't reach it, but if you guys do this X amount of social goals or X amount of wish lists, we'll do this anyway. Mm-hmm. So a lot of Kickstarters in the last probably 2 to 3 years will say, okay, while we didn't get the monetary goal, we'll try and do this if you guys can help us out with spreading social awareness, making a video or two, custom art contest, that sort of stuff. Okay. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this as well. Again, tell us what you come. Tweet at us as at twitter.com/gamingaged, or you can tweet at Adam as twitter.com/LAHDSAI, right? Oh, damn it, I remembered. Good stuff. Antoine's Twitter is, I forgot though.
Does Antoine even use it though?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Will he respond?
Exactly, it must be something like Touré Antoine or something, but it's not.
It's in the line. Yeah, so yes. You can get us, hit us up on Facebook on our page. You can always leave a comment there. And as usual, right, none of this is financial advice or telling you what to buy or what to purchase. Please do your own research, right? You never know what can happen. The world is continuously changing. Economics are uncertain. Who knows what's going to happen? So please be careful. And that is it. We're not going to end off today's show just yet. As usual, I've got a few topics to talk to you guys about. One of the topics is, because I know Adam and Antoine are, Antoine's sort of a Sony person. Adam is a Sony person. So you guys would have seen that Sony's released their own line of physical PC hardware. Not as a Sony brand, though. Oh, Antoine's surprised with this. Adam is not. I'm sure Adam reads this stuff as much as I do.
In zone,
yes. So Adam, you give us a take, and then we'll go to Antoine, and then we'll go on to the next one. So what's your take on Sony's hardware? Why not Sony? Which is the big question I want to ask you guys. Why not brand this Sony hardware?
It's still Sony. I think it's just like Bravia. It's just the...
But it's not going to be Sony in InnoVision, right? Or InnoVision, whatever the hell it's
InZone?
Called. InZone? It's not going to be Sony InZone. It's just InZone, blah, blah, blah. There's no Sony labeling, huh?
Nah, I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention. But it's specifically designed to work with the PS5, but also with PC. From what I've been hearing, I don't know about the headphones. They seem pretty interesting. I would probably get the second tier of them, only because the... top tier is wireless and noise canceling. Second tier is not noise canceling, but still wireless. And third tier is wired, not noise canceling. I'd probably go with the second one to get a wireless headset, but I don't think I'd go with noise canceling just because I live in a pretty quiet area anyway. And I have a problem that even when I'm wearing headphones, sometimes my wife calls me, and if I don't respond, that can be problematic for me to not respond when she calls. So noise canceling seems I don't need it, and it would just become an issue where I get too focused. So I'd probably go with those. As far as the monitors go, from what I've seen people saying, they say that they look pretty good, but they might be they're a little bit more expensive than what you could get from LG or maybe somebody else. So they were saying maybe for the monitors, probably maybe go with LG or something else just to save a little bit of money there.
And so what do you think?
For the branding, that seems containment to me. Like, for instance, see what's happening with Alienware. Everybody's laughing at it. And Dell doesn't want people to know that it belongs to them. So Dell is more like the business side of the business, really, with companies. Alienware is more like for the gamer. And there's a big line on in between. If one of them get laughed at, like it's the case at the moment, it doesn't impact the other side of the business. InZone is Sony is not really well known for doing this, even though they have their own accessories for the PlayStation. They are not known for doing this. So it can go very well and then great, but it can completely tank because they are up against big players on this kind of market. I understand they are making just hardware, right? They are not doing their own OS to compete with Microsoft. They are just doing hardware. So great for them. But they have to compete with all the Corsair, all the Psy, all the other like people with tens of years of experience, all the Razer and etc. So it's a very competitive market, a very well-established market. So it's very courageous for them to go on there, on it, but it's a big bet. They don't make enough profit or it just doesn't work. They can just cut it at some point without saying, hey, Sony just didn't work. No, because like when Bravia, they meet Sony Bravia, they were already experienced in doing this. For monitors, I'm sure they're going to have great monitors because they didn't do computing monitors. Yeah, that's a little background noise. Anyway, so yeah, I think it's just containment. Good idea. No, it's not you. I don't hear it anymore. Anyway, just a little technical issue. It's all right. It's happening at the end of the show, so all fine. So yeah, nothing more to say about this. It's great for them to extend their line of market, especially since Microsoft is so aggressive game-wise and Sony could be in trouble. We talked about it. Game Pass is going to eat Spartacus really completely. At least that's my opinion. So they need to find a way to develop where Microsoft is. PC gaming, of course, is Microsoft territory, but Sony can and has Japanese and Asian market in general to try to make money out of it. So, yeah, why not? It could be a good thing. And look at a brand new company. Well, it's not brand new, but look at Lenovo. It wasn't super famous 10 years ago, right? Now every company has Lenovo resident. So it can work. It can absolutely work. But I just think it's a bet. And they are trying to confine it to, let's hope it works.
Last question for you guys before we end up today's show. I just saw on the news as well, Tencent has still not, I should say the Chinese ratings board has not approved any single Tencent video game in China for the last 3 months. How do you think that's going to affect gaming, not just the Chinese gaming industry, but the whole gaming industry as a whole? I think we might have seen an inkling of that with more Chinese games focusing on the Western market as opposed to the Eastern market, saying that, okay, look, the government's clamping down on gaming companies, entertainment. You know, they don't want these big entities outshining the president of China, whatever you want to call it. What's going to happen in the next 1 to 2 years first?
I don't know if it's a good example, but look what happened with Brexit. Like lots of companies thought, oh my God, lots of things are changing in UK. I can't do business as I used to do before. Let's cross the pound. Not that much. Let's cross the Irish Sea and put all of our industry in Ireland, just in front. You have Taiwan just in front of China. I would see the market developing there. If the business is locked, you can't do business and you have to find an exit way. Taiwan's just there. And as you said, gaming is very big in North America. Why not just go to Canada, which is a big gaming company in this country? Like all the big gaming companies are here. In Montreal, actually. So it could be good for them to come here or in the US or so. Yeah, they have a lot of choice. If Chinese market is blocked, they have no choice but to get out.
I think they might like to try to transfer over to Taiwan, but I don't know how easy that would be. Government has a pretty tight fist on a lot of things over there, including people's bank accounts. Yeah, I don't know how easy it would be for them to do that. I'm sure they would if they could, but yeah, Tencent's such a huge company and gaming's a big part of it, but they have so many other things. I think if it really came, I think they'll just continue to do what they're doing. I don't think too much will really change just because, yeah, I don't think gaming's their biggest moneymaker anyway. They make money off of all sorts of other things. Don't they own, was not Alibaba, but they own a bunch of stuff over there.
They have a bunch of divisions, but in terms of net income as of 2021, they are the largest gaming company in the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but how much does that compare to how big is gaming within the company? Like, for instance, Microsoft, Xbox is huge, but compared to Microsoft, Xbox is almost nothing.
Tencent is an entertainment. They have a bunch of entertainment things. Gaming is a portion, but it's not like a minority portion as would be for Microsoft or other companies. Like, it is a large portion of Tencent's income.
So we have a question in the chat. They say Tencent is state-funded.
It is China. Everything's state-funded.
All the big companies are, yeah. But yeah, I think it'd be really difficult for them to get out of the country entirely on their own. So I'm sure they'll figure something out. I don't know how much it'll change.
I'm not saying getting out of the country, but getting just a branch out.
They might. I'm sure that China would love to have that external money coming in. So I'm sure they'll find ways to make it work. But as far as the industry, I don't think it'll change the industry too much. I don't think it'll have a huge impact, and at least on the level of what we as gamers are seeing. I don't think we're going to see a huge.
I think they are mostly involved in mobile gaming, right?
Yeah.
So since I never do mobile gaming, I don't really care.
Very cool, guys. What is your week looking like, or the rest of the week looking at?
It's summertime, which means the kids are out of school, which means that we, as teachers, need to compensate. So yeah, we're going to have to, so I'm working every morning now, possibly going to be starting doing early afternoon classes, and I still have my afternoon and evening classes, so busy.
And you're raking in that money.
Not as much as I'd like.
What's your week going to look like?
If I get my motivation up, maybe I'll try the early access of Sandrock, but I'll try to prioritize getting out the episode 11 of Forteresse du Château Noir, FFCDN, just in the interest of saving time. Right now, I'm just releasing the audio version on podcast. It's not on YouTube because I have to do the whole video stuff around it, and I don't have time to do that. So I'm going to prioritize the podcast, and when I'm finished, I'm going to put whatever picture I have and put a picture for 2 hours, and that's all it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be something like this. Anyway, people are listening to it on podcast and not really on YouTube anyway, so that's why I'm prioritizing this.
Anton, do you want to tell everyone what we're doing next week, since my French pronunciation is pretty bad?
Absolutely. So no one's going to listen to next week because once again, it's my choice and I'm going back to a very French product. It's a Kickstarter on a French platform called Ulu, and this is for the final season of Noob. As usual, we are talking about video games here, and the first time I did was on a book. Next time is on a web series. So on a free series that you can see on YouTube. No need to go on Amazon or Netflix or whatever. This is absolutely free. You can watch it on YouTube.
Does it have English subtitles at all?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, actually. Maybe they do. It's 11 years running, or even more, actually, now. And we'll talk about it next week. But Noob is something that I really love because it's an extremely fun project. I wish them the best of luck. I think there's only 8 days left in their campaign. I think they succeeded already. That's their fourth campaign. Okay, it's not just a brand new starter. They are really experienced in there. They already did a campaign where they raised money to do 3 movies. They really had 3 movies released in cinema in France and everything. So yeah, they created their own edition company as well. Anyway, we'll talk about this next week, but Noob, I recommend, they are doing their Kickstarter on Ulul, on the Ulul platform. So if you understand French, then jump on it. If there is English subtitle, which there is, try it. It's very fun, really. And see you next week.
Sounds good. So everyone, thank you very much for tuning in today, or listening on the podcast, or watching the YouTube video as well. We are really, really appreciate it. As always, follow us, subscribe, share on social media, and we will see you guys at the same time next week. Bye-bye.
Catch you later.
Bye.
That's all we have time for, folks. Please don't forget to follow, like, subscribe, and share on social media. We are trying to build the best possible community out there. We want to create a home for people just like you. You can find Middle Age Gaming on YouTube, Twitter, Discord, Gmail, and Instagram. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in to Adam and Phil's stream to have a chat with them. See you later!